Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. If you just tuned in and you've been listening before, if you've been listening this week, you know that my voice is still off a little bit, but a little better, I think. And if you just tuned in for the very first time, this might actually be a better sound. I don't know, but anyway, we're glad to have you here. It's good to continue to be with you. Welcome aboard. If you just got here, if you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to know what I mean by that when you hear our next guest, our good friend, our original Brain Trust member, Grace Marie Turner, the president of the Galen Institute, the editor of Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform. Nobody on the planet works harder for healthcare public policy, especially for small business owners, than Grace Marie Turner. She's our good friend. Grace Marie, welcome back to the show.
You're very kind. Good morning, Jim. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you back. What do you think? Do I sound sexy and husky?
Huh? Wait, I don't know. Should I say you don't sound like yourself? Is that a compliment?
I'm just not getting any love today, folks. Beverly Williams wasn't playing along with me either. I don't know what's going on here. Hey, Grace Marie, what's happening out there in your world?
Oh, my goodness. All the members of Congress who are going to be coming back to vote again on this state children's health insurance program are getting hammered in their congressional districts if they voted against health insurance for all children. But I am telling you, we had John Shattuck over to a briefing we did on Capitol Hill the day after the House vote, and he said, I've read this 435-page bill, and he said there is no part of our health system that will not be dramatically changed forever by this legislation.
It's got such a cute little name.
Doesn't it indeed? We're going to be good and provide health insurance for all children. Nobody argues against that. But the way they're going to do it is to basically put children, all children, up to 80,000 children in households whose families make 80,000, even 100,000 or more a year, can be eligible for taxpayer-supported health insurance.
Wow.
One of the problems is that most of those children in those higher income categories already have private health insurance.
Yeah,
it's going to be crowding out
Their parents can afford to pay for their health care.
Well, and when you look at the numbers, like 93% of the kids in these higher income categories already have private health insurance. It's lower income kids who are, by the way, already eligible for this children's Medicaid.
Tell us about this. Start out by telling us about the bill a little bit more, the origins of it, who's the author of it, who are the champions of it, what does the bill actually do?
Well, the bill actually is a reauthorization of a program that started 10 years ago under the Republican Congress, under Newt Gingrich.
Mm-hmm.
And President Clinton in the White House decided to expand health insurance for children. This is a bill that was designed to provide public support for children who make too much to qualify for Medicaid, but whose parents don't earn enough to have either job-based health insurance or be able to afford it on their own. Gap coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who knew? And it will expire unless it is reauthorized by September the 30th.
Right.
Who knew that when Congress passed this 10 years ago that it was going to fall right into the laps of a new Democratic Congress,
that
it's going to use this to try to create socialist health system in this country?
Basically, it's the first big step towards universal health care.
Well, I'm not even saying it's the first, because we already have half of our more than $2 trillion health sector is controlled and run and paid for by government at one level or another.
Medicare and Medicaid.
Medicare, Medicaid, the Veterans Health Service, the Indian Health Service, all of the other community health services, all
right.
of the different pieces that government pays for. And this would essentially say all children are going to be on government health care. One of the things that was in the original bill that the was passed out of the House committee is that we would redefine a child as someone aged up to 25.
Wow.
So that meant that up to age 25, you're going to get your health insurance through the government. So kids would grow up thinking, where do you get your health insurance?
Hold on to that thought, Grace Marie. When we come back, folks, we're going to find out where this is right now. What's the buzz about this? Is it going to pass? If it passes, will the president sign it? And what will it mean to small business owners? That's what we're going to be talking about right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back with Grace Marie Turner. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, and we're talking about this healthcare program for children. Grace Marie, tell us the official, the actual correct name of the bill. Do you know?
Well, the name when it was passed is the State Children's Health Insurance Program, because Congress wanted the states to be able to have a lot more authority about how this was set up. So
was this going to be an unfunded mandate for the states?
Well, no, and that's another issue. It was not another unfunded mandate, and it's not a new entitlement, which is why it has to be reauthorized,
right.
because it would otherwise expire. But one of the things this Congress wants to do is to make it an unfunded mandate that won't ever expire. It wants to make it just another entitlement.
Right.
And now the bill was revised slightly because it was way too expensive to only allow children up to age 21 to be on the program.
Holy
but
man.
You know what the next step's going to be.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
going to be 25. It's going to be 30. And pretty soon the whole country is going to be on
Universal
the State Children's Health Insurance Program.
Right.
And one of the, I mean, there are a lot of problems with this. And employers may say, you know, that's great. I can't afford to pay for health insurance for all my employees, and we could get a little help to help them put their kids on this program. But what it means is that these kids are mostly going to be in a Medicaid-like program,
right.
which means
right.
that they pay physicians so little that you can't get a doctor to see you, can't
right.
get a dentist. You wind up having
some,
to take
some
your child
doctors
in the emergency room.
Doctors aren't required to take Medicaid patients.
Well, and most of them can't because they're paid
That's
less
right.
than it costs them to see the patient.
That's right.
They'll take some, but they can't take their whole practices, or they go out of business because they're paid literally pennies on the dollar for what it costs them.
So are you saying that the people who are the pragmatic, reasonable ones who hate this bill but don't hate little children have been getting a lot of grief from their districts?
What the president has proposed is reauthorizing the state children's health insurance program so that families earning up to $40,000 a year can have their children covered by this program.
So basically, and, as it is?
Well, no. The program, it's actually, that's a little higher than current
mm-hmm.
levels. So it would make it a little bit higher. The president has it in his budget. Let's just focus on this program. Let's get the kids enrolled who are eligible for the program before we expand it to all these kids and all these middle-class families. And the president has said that he will veto either the bill that passed the House or the Senate.
Right.
So they're going to come back. They're very different bills. They've got to mush them into one bill in the conference committee, and then they'll go back to each House with this new bill. And the question is it going to still be such an overreach that the president says, I got to veto this bill.
Right.
This is way beyond the
scope
of this program.
And if it is, I hope he does. Well, how is this going to impact small business?
Well, small businesses, the president has proposed a legislation that I think would make a lot of sense. And there are some amendments that could even make it better. For example, if as a small business you are able to provide health insurance for your employees, but you just can't afford to cover the whole family.
Right.
This would say you can get, if your families are paid less, if they're making less than $40,000, then they can essentially get that money as a stipend from this Children's Health Insurance Program to add their child to their family policy at work. Keeps families together, means that the kids don't have to be on Medicaid, and allow them to continue to have private family insurance with this support for the money that otherwise would have been spent to put the child on Medicaid, basically. Let that become a defined contribution, a voucher, so that the parents can use that to add their children to a policy at work. So there would be a chance to then have families together, have families continue to have private health insurance, and I think that employees would feel that if their policy can become a family policy, and a lot of insurance companies will simply allow the dependents to be riders, either through the workplace or on their own, to allow that to have the dignity of private insurance and to not be expanding an entitlement program to the point that we're basically all going to be on government health insurance.
Make middle-class children be a member, a ward of the state. You know, Grace Marie, wouldn't this be a great time to resurrect Senator Mike Inslee of Wyoming's small business health plans and stick that in this bill and say, okay, guys, okay, Democrats, if you want the children's health care plan instituted, stick Mike Inslee's small business health plans in there, and in 5 years, let's just see which one works the best.
Exactly right.
What's wrong with that, Grace Marie?
That's exactly what should be done. And unfortunately, Republicans really caved in the Senate and passed this with a veto-proof margin of 68 to 31. So in the
But not the new bill, though. They got to come back, though, don't they?
We're going to come back. They're going to have to put some provisions of the House bill in it. And I think that they're going to wind up with a very different bill that's going to be hard to get through either House of Congress, frankly, because the Senate's not going to want to swallow everything that the House did and vice versa. So we're going to have a big fight over this next month. And I think one of the important things is for people to recognize what we're talking about here is the ball game. This is the ball game
That's
of
right.
whether or not we have a free health system in this country or whether or not we just give in and say, you know, government's got to run the whole thing.
Yeah. Stand by, Grace Marie Turner. Grace Marie, by the way, her website is galen.org, galen.org. Check it out. That's where you can find her book. That's where you can find everything you need to know about what's going on in healthcare public policy, especially from a free market standpoint. Tintil, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Mr. Richard Pennyman, ladies and gentlemen, otherwise known as Little Richard, still rocking after all these years. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Grace Marie Turner, the president of the Galen Institute. My websites, by the way, folks, are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check those out. They're free sites. If you can get there, we'll let you hang out with us and use all the resources to your advantage. Lots and lots of stuff there. Be sure to check them out, smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. That's the knowledge base. That's where you can go to get answers right now. Grace Marie, we're talking about the Children's Health Plan. I've forgotten the actual name. But, folks, it's a dangerous bill, even though it has this warm, fuzzy name on it, even though it's for children. There's nobody on the planet that loves children more than I do, and nobody who wants them to be safe and healthy more than I do. But it's bad legislation, folks. It's going in the wrong direction, Grace Marie. When you've got Europeans wishing they didn't have universal health care, when you European governments and companies wishing they didn't have universal health care, we've got the American automobile industry can't compete against the European and Japanese industries who are working here in the United States because they've got so much of a burden of health care commitments that they've made, unfunded mandates, contingent liabilities is what I'm trying to say. It's an uncompetitive direction that we're putting our country in. Our healthcare system is going to be the worst for it. And it's the opposite of the market-based, portable healthcare system that we need to be. That Grace Marie, you've been working on for years. You and I have, and I have been talking about for years. And the thing, here's the thing, Grace Marie. Here's what upsets me about this. A year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, the Democrats killed small business health plans. And that would have been a great thing for thousands, for millions of children. It really would have. But they killed it because it was market-based. And now they're coming back.
It affected the cartel. It affected the status quo. People who have health insurance through Blue Cross Blue Shield and other, you know, protected...
AARP?
Yep, AARP in the states. They didn't want to have their base of business affected. And that means that they're saying, I don't care about those 45 million people without health insurance. I just want to protect what I have. I think it's unconscionable.
There's no question about it. But yet you got people like Ted Kennedy blaming you and me and Republicans and anybody who's against his universal health care programs, he and the other liberals. And, you know, folks, I don't go over on this. I don't get to this level of politics on the show very much, but health care, the new direction of our government on health care is a dangerous, dangerous vector that they're taking us on, and it's the opposite of the way the 21st century America should be moving.
Well, and you got mad at me, Jim, about saying this last time, but I think it's okay to have universal health care. I want everybody to have health insurance. I just don't want the government to run it. I want it to be, as you say,
right,
personal, portable, private health insurance, so that you're in charge of decisions about what coverage you have and your employees have and you have for your families, not having some government politician dictate to you what coverage you can have, what coverage you can't have, and paying physicians so little that most of the good ones say, I'm just closing up shop. I'm going to go be a consultant for somebody else or become an advisor to trial lawyers.
Well, Grace Marie, let me correct one thing. I could never be mad at you about anything. I still don't agree with your terminology.
But universal just means everybody gets health insurance.
I know, but that's not the way people typically think about it.
Universal government run health
there
insurance.
There you go.
There
but when you
go.
Say universal health care, that typically people think that means the government and not market based. And so anyway, but you and I, folks, don't worry. There's no crack in the relationship here. Grace Marie and I are still in lockstep on which way
we're fighting for small business and
that's
for
right.
freedom in the health sector.
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you, if you want to know how, if the direction that the people want to move in to get the government more involved in the charge of your health care, just talk to the services the Europeans are getting, the Canadians are getting. Look at how all of that government run single payer systems, what that's done to the competitiveness of those countries. It's not good.
Well, it's not good, and also it's not good for healthcare. So a study just recently came out that the death rates, it's like a two out of people live for every three that live in other countries, it's because they can't get access to chemotherapy
right.
and the
yeah.
treatments that they need to stay alive.
Grace Marie, we got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Get Mike Enzi's involved. Call him up and get him involved.
I will,
in this.
Yes. And take
Thanks,
care of your boys. Hope you
Thank
feel
you,
better.
Thank you, Grace Marie. Talk to you later. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.